Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Land and Nation. This is Kelly here with Mark.
Yes, it is. What up, Kelly?
We need that echo on Land and Nation.
Give me a sec, I'll find it. I almost hit this.
How about you shut up?
Hey, that works too.
Hey, it's Land and Nation. Land and Nation.
So tonight we are talking about Bonanza. Twilight Town is the episode, which is kind of, I guess, like our Halloween thing. Not that the episode is like explicitly Halloween, but it did air October 13th, 1963. So we're in that like time frame, and it is sort of like
it's a mysterious episode,
paranormal-esque type.
Yeah.
Episode. So it kind of fits in with the, I actually, when you asked me, when I was like, do we want to do a Halloween thing? And you're like, does Bonanza have a Halloween one?
Yeah.
But I actually Googled like Halloween Bonanza and this is what came up. So I was like, it's not like exactly Halloween, but I think it works for Halloween. So.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty fun episode actually. And one of the things,
I thought it was good. And it's a great Little Joe episode too. So.
But you know, like the episode kind of goes one way, then it goes another, and then it goes like another way. Like it's weird. Like I thought it was turning from like a paranormal thing into just a bunch of guys with no spines. And then it goes elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that it did a pretty good job of kind of like keeping you on your toes and keeping you interested and,
you know what?
Kind of like where it was going.
I'm just going to respond the way that AI thing does. Right.
Exactly.
But what I really found interesting in your notes.
Yeah. actually, I will say, though, that they did make it sound like our notes were like pretty interesting notes.
Yeah. You know what? Somebody put in their directions for their like TV. Like they put in like the whole manual and somebody was playing it and it's just really funny. It's like, hey, who said manuals can't be interesting? It's like, first of all, don't swallow the battery. You know, it's like, oh, it's so strange, you know, but yeah.
Keep the plastic bag away from children. Do not put it in a crib. Right, it is not a toy.
And that's what they're doing. It's so weird. But what we're talking about is Notebook LM. And
yeah,
I mean, I think it's a cute thing. And I would listen to an audiobook, I guess, if it was, you know, with that type of tone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I have to wonder what. It's weird. It's definitely a weird thing. It's fun.
It is weird. It's in fun. A way, it's better than you would expect it to be.
Yeah. Well, it's better than a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, that's true.
It's almost like they modeled it after our podcasts. You know, with like, yeah, a little bit. I mean, they have a certain rapport and everything.
Yeah,
there's a certain
that's true.
Tonality, I think, anyway.
They must listen to Dr. Quincast.
Yeah, Google
and
is
Landon
a huge
Nation.
Google is a huge fan of Dr. Yeah. Quincast. The Googles. So
it's all about Sully and his hair.
So apparently it's Little Joe's birthday.
Yeah, it is Little Joe's birthday. And to working. celebrate, he has his shirt unbuttoned. He's having a great time. Yeah. His shirt like matches his hat exactly.
Yeah.
It's very monochromatic.
This opening is a little bit visual. So I'm just going to like let it play a little bit.
Yeah, there are like a few parts of this episode that are actually pretty visual.
And yeah, like when he looks up at the sun, it's wait, do I have? Sorry, I'm looking for. Do we even have a clip for Here Comes the Sun?
We don't. That would be a good one to have right there.
All right, we can do this on the fly because of the magic of the newest firmware upgrade from Rode, which gave me the ability to do these things. Or maybe not. I don't know if it's not going to work. Forget it. Forget it. Everything's ruined.
Here comes the sun.
I can do this instead. I'll throw this in.
I need a fix, cause I'm going down.
Yeah, that one today, coach.
You call him Cooch?
Is his horse's name? Like Cooch?
Cooch? What? Gonna be a warm day today, Cooch.
Okay, little Joe.
Be a hot one today, Cooch.
Cooch.
Well, you are like in the middle of the desert. Yeah. So,
why not? Yeah. So he sees a man laying down. So he's like, how long do you think this guy was there in the hot sun?
I don't know.
He gets up, his whole face is burned from the sand. Like, you know, you go to the beach and, you know, you're just running across that sand. Sometimes your tootsies, you know, you forget your sandals and you're running.
Oh, it's like so uncomfortably hot.
You're looking for some shadow.
Yeah.
All right. So he sees like a body, like some guy just sprawled. Oh my God, this is so loud. Totally pulled.
He's like on the ready. So this was really, it was actually surprising to me because at first when I see the body there, I'm thinking the guy's like dead.
Yeah.
But then when Little Joe touches him, he's just like totally ready with the gun. So I was like, all right, you're not dead.
He's like, I've been here for 3 hours. Thank God.
Look, I'm just trying to help you, mister. You helped.
Now, I have to wonder, was it like a targeted thing, I wonder? Because Little Joe does have $2,000 on him.
He does. So this episode, I've kind of, and just like when I was watching it, and I was kind of trying to figure out, I mean, because when we have this whole like town thing that comes up, and mm-hmm. at first you're like, wow, this is totally fake. And then you're like, well, maybe this is like sort of real. But then you're like, no, this totally isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, this guy here who, when we get to the, like, Twilight Town thing, is that Felix guy, right?
Yeah.
But then I was like, wait, so is this, like, actually that Felix guy? Or is this, like, the other guy actually? Or then, like, I'm, like, confused kind of on, like, what we're supposed to think really happened at all, I guess is what I'm saying.
I mean, I know it's intentionally supposed to be like the Twilight Zone, which was doing very well at this period of time on television. Mm-hmm. Oh, this aired. When did this air? This aired October. I think you did say it already.
Yeah, October 13th, yeah, 1963.
You did say that, but in 1963, Twilight Zone was still had, I think, 2 more years left of its run, and it was pretty much well received. So it's definitely inspired by the Twilight Zone. But I feel as though, like, a lot of people think they can make like a show like Twilight Zone, but the stories sometimes miss their mark. Like, they don't really follow through. And I think this is a good example of, all right, you can write something strange, but it doesn't mean it's going to really come together the way like a Twilight Zone episode might.
Well, not apparently,
I don't love Twilight Zone, by the way.
Well, so like, in addition to the obvious like Twilight Zone reference, you know, high end that they're kind of going for on IMDb, it said that it was also, like, the plot was borrowed from a movie called Ghost Town.
Which
was from, like, the late 1950s, which I have not seen the movie. So, like, I don't... Maybe if I had seen that movie and then, like, saw really how they were borrowing the plot from the movie, maybe I would have clearer opinions on kind of, like, you know, what we're supposed to be perceiving as we watch this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, because like so I was just sort of like, I mean, I don't know, like, and then I mean, like, I know that we're kind of like, it's supposed to be sort of this like paranormal thing, but I think that what I decided is that the whole town thing that Little Joe experienced like is supposed to be real, but like not perceivable to everybody.
Like a multi-dimensional type of slip?
Yeah, that's kind of like the vibe I was picking up on it. So I don't know if that's kind of what you thought.
Well,
I like it.
I mean, I think fever dream, you know, but at the same time, it doesn't explain how he didn't die. You know, because he just kind of... I don't know, did you have some, like, mescaline by accident? The whole thing was a dream? He just kind of imagined everything?
Well, and that's kind of like how they try to brush it off. Like, oh, it's like you were like in the sun. It's really hot. That comes up a couple of times. So it's kind of like, well, yeah, I could like explain some stuff. But then we also see some stuff, too, that you're kind of, you know, kind of isn't explained by that. So.
But here's how he's going to get robbed. Now just in the middle of nowhere.
Take it easy, friend. I lost my horse, and now I'm buying your horse.
He's not for sale, mister.
Well, you'd better change your mind.
That is the bluest sky ever.
It's like blue screen.
You a good price for him.
So he knocks him out.
Your life.
So now little Joe just has to wait there for another person to come by to help him. And then he could pull his gun out on that guy. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah. No, I was just thinking that. It was like this whole, like, you can really see his lifts.
Oh, man, look at that.
Like, you can totally tell by the way his ankles bend. Yeah. You can totally see the lifts. It's almost distracting. I was just thinking that the whole, like, laying in the desert thing, like, how much that would suck. I mean, it's got to be, like, 100 degrees, right?
Well... We don't really know where he is, right? I mean, he's in a desert, obviously.
Well, so I brought up later on, because there's that one scene where they're in that town that he, like, would have been in, I guess. And there's a lot of Spanish. And I'm like, are they, like, in Mexico? Because I was like, did this just become, like, an episode of Dr. Quinn where you can get to Mexico in 5 minutes?
And
there's, like,
palm trees in the beginning there and cactus.
I did notice the trees. And then trying to remember, they do have palm trees in Nevada, because I feel like in Las Vegas there are palm trees.
Yeah, there are. There definitely are.
Yeah, so I mean, although, like, this was filmed, I mean, obviously in California, I'm sure. But
so what does CSSMC mean?
Colorado Springs Secret Sign Making Committee.
Oh yeah. I'm like, I was going through my head, like, Cartwright sign.
No, it's the Colorado Springs Secret Sign Making Committee. This is like one of their early works.
Yeah.
Why it's really monochromatic. You know, it was before they started exploring color and some textures.
But wait, that doesn't line up. Because the Cartwrights take place after the 1860s, I think.
I thought it was, like, in the 1860s.
I thought it was the 1880s.
Well, I thought it was the 1860s. But it also might be kind of jumping around, too, because, you know, the continuity is not that great.
I cannot spell the word bonanza quickly. Like, if I go to type it, it's bonananza.
Yeah.
I cannot, for the life of me, do that. Years taking place. I'm just curious.
So this... says set between 1861 and 1867.
Yeah, same here. All right. Yeah. So it's definitely more in line with Dr. Quinn than I thought.
Yeah.
Well,
so this was kind of like one of their early
early
orders that they fulfilled.
Yeah.
They were still sort of finding their way. So I think that you'll find in their later works, you know, they really expanded their offerings a lot. But anyway, they were making this sign for Little Joe's birthday, apparently.
Now look at it. Let's take a look. And I thought these were balloons at first. I'm like, wait a minute. We don't have helium balloons back then. But they're lanterns.
Oh, they're like those, yeah, like those Chinese lantern things.
But no hop sink.
Which, I think that, like, pretty much every show that we watch in this time period, they use these Chinese lanterns.
Yeah, Dr. Quinn did Little House. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, when they have, like, the barn dance and stuff, they have the Chinese lanterns.
Oh, that's interesting. But only one hop sing. Although, you could say Peter's kind of like hop sing, right?
Sure. Sure. Just because he's Asian?
Especially because he's Asian.
That looks.
Did you know that he, in real life, he is a kid?
Oh my gosh. Cooper. I knew you were going to go there with it. I knew you were going to go there with it.
Yep. The weirdest thing ever.
About right, doesn't it?
It looks fine to me, Paul. I just wonder if Little Joe's going to like it.
Paul.
Oh, why shouldn't he?
Well, he probably figures he's getting a little bit too old for surprise birthday. I love how
the text on Little Joe is like little.
little Joe. Like, why couldn't they just write happy birthday, Joe? Or, you know.
No, it has to be Little Joe.
Do you think he was ever Little Joey?
Little Joey.
Yeah, Little Joey. Hey, Little Joey.
Bryce. Oh, come on now. Man's never too old to have some friends over to help him celebrate an occasion.
Happy birthday, Little Joe. Happy 40th.
And then, like, when Haas is like, do you think he's a little old for, like, surprise parties? I'm like, okay, he's a little old for, like, a lot of things that you do, including calling him Little Joe.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing.
And also, maybe you're all a little old to be, like, living with your father.
Happy 40th, Little Joe.
Well, the beef's all dressed and ready for the spit.
And my shirt sure is tucked in.
Yeah. Like, pulled up.
I don't know. He doesn't look his best here. Looks like he's just, like, he's everything is ill-fitted.
Musicians will be here before sundown.
Good. Yeah, I think he'll be pleased.
All it is a sign. Get over yourselves. So, all right, he wakes up in the desert. Little Joe wakes up in the desert, and we get our intro. But we get some, like, I thought when you posted, I don't know exactly when the screenshot was from, but it definitely
looked like his Little Joe's album. Yeah.
Exactly. Breaking a leg, you know? What would you call it? So here we go. He's just.
I think that was actually where I got my screenshot from.
Like right here? Or.
It was like from this scene.
Oh, yeah. right there.
I think it's like, pretty good, actually.
So, Little Joe's kind of wandering through the desert. He kind of comes across this town, and let me see. I'm gonna play this because I have something to sync up to it, and just screaming.
Yeah, this is pretty awesome the way he was just screaming. Yeah.
Hey! Hey!
He gets to a town, it's like a ghost town.
There's like tumbleweeds all over the street and everything.
Yeah.
So this fall that he has coming up is so dramatic.
Well, I'm going to make it even more dramatic.
Okay.
Just stay with me.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind.
No.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You just cross over into the Twilight Zone.
Wasn't that pretty good?
That was actually synced up, like, perfectly.
I didn't think I would be able to recreate it, and this was good. That would have been a good intro.
For the whole episode? Yeah.
I mean, they are basically stealing it. I don't know. Is it David Rose who does all the music for this?
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there's definitely a lot of borrowed themes throughout this episode that are kind of like that. Like, even right here. Oh, well, not right there. So they have the birthday party without Little Joe, which I guess,
I actually thought was a little crazy. I mean, I get that it's like they invited the people, they show up, and then it's like, oh, Little Joe's, like, running late, or, like, he's not here. But it's crazy. It's just, they're just like, oh, bye, thanks for the great party. And they're like, just don't think it's weird. Like, the guests don't think it's weird at all that Little Joe was not there.
Cake's not going to eat itself. They have a cookie puss. So, yeah, I mean, it is kind of weird.
Thank you for coming.
It was a great party. You know, I haven't had so much fun since old Judge Potter married for the fourth time.
It was nice having you.
Right, you're gonna have
I think
to
that
go.
Guy's had a drink or two.
Yeah.
Good night, Ben.
Well, that's kind of the beauty of having a horse, because the horse will just bring you home.
Right? Yeah, I suppose, right?
And you stop worrying, Ben.
but he's just a boy.
Worried?
He's just 40.
He's just 40 today.
About what? I'm not worried.
Ben, I've known you for a long time.
Too long.
Little Joe, he'll make it home fine. And it was a real fine party.
Thank you.
Let's
Thank
go.
You for coming.
You hear those Walnut Grove crickets?
I do, yeah.
What do they call them?
I do,
Jerusalem
actually.
Crickets?
Yeah, something? Jerusalem crickets, Beth.
I don't know if that is that a thing, Jerusalem crickets?
I think it's just some,
yeah.
I think it's just some crazy saying. I don't know.
Just some crazy Almanzo.
Jerusalem crickets, Beth.
So, Jerusalem crickets. Haas thinks that Lil Joe's in trouble. I don't know. Ben's just kind of like, eh, screw him.
I kind of had the feeling that he actually is a little worried, but he's just trying to act like he's not as a way to like convince himself that he's not.
Yeah,
I'm going to bed.
Paul.
I'm going to
bed. Or maybe he's a little pissed because we have seen in other episodes that he's like mad if Little Joe's like out on the town and stuff. Even though his son is like an adult, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and also they're talking about a lot of money. I mean, to today's standards, it's $2,000 is about $60,000.
Right, yeah, that's a lot of money.
But, you know, the Cartwrights, you know, they carry that in their back pocket.
Suggest you do the same.
Paul, he's in trouble.
Now, isn't that a fool thing to say? His horse could have thrown a shoe. Anything could have made him late.
Sure.
Could have stopped off in a saloon to have a drink.
Not tonight. Not with $2,000 in his saddlebags.
Now, Joseph is old enough to take care of himself.
Trouble,
but he's not
son.
Old enough to not live in your house. I don't know.
He's been old enough to take care of himself for decades now.
I'm not going to go out searching for him just because he's a couple of hours late. He's not a child.
Just because he's a few weeks late?
Yeah.
Maybe he ran off with their money.
Besides, what if he was tired and decided to just bed down for the night in the hotel? We'd look kind of foolish going out looking for him, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, Adam shows up with some horses and is like, let's go get him. Let's go get him, Paul.
Yeah, well, then he gave in really easily to that, which kind of made me think that he actually is worried. Yeah. That he was just kind of, like, denying it. But then it's like when Haas and Adam are both like, come on, we're going. Then he's like, yeah, you're right. I'm worried.
Yeah, and Ben's like, I'm going to bring my whooping belt for when we find him. Give him a licking. Let's see. He wakes up. Little Joe wakes up in the town. Again, kind of visual, but now there's like a ton of people. It's like the Dr. Quinn mob is forming.
Well, I totally thought of the Dr. Quinn mob, but like amplified. It's like the biggest mob ever. And it's really eerie how they're all just like constantly crowded around staring at him.
So weird.
Like just staring at him like not saying anything. It's really weird.
And a lot of these shots are like crooked like this, you know, like and this guy's hair is so distracting. It's like they spray painted it gray or something.
It does look very artificial.
Yeah. It looks like when they show close ups of it, it's like, what the heck am I doing? So let's see. Lil Joe wakes up.
This town is deserted.
You unlock this door with the key.
It was nothing.
You asked for a while.
His lips are all, like, pasty and, I guess...
Yeah, because they're all, like, I don't know, I guess chapped. He got, like, cleaned up really well by them. Yeah.
Well, you know
what? I mean, because he was...
You know what made him feel better? Taking that sticky shirt off.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't understand. There was nothing. There was nothing when I came here.
Please, Mr. Cartwright.
I don't need you, and I don't want you. You're here.
Perfect.
Know me.
So, speaking of Dr. Quinn, Louise, this woman, her mannerisms and voice kind of reminded me of Emma from Dr. Quinn.
You know, like, I have to channel that energy. I have to listen for that, but I think she looks like Elizabeth Montgomery. A little bit.
I can see that in the facial structure, but I wasn't talking. I wasn't talking about like appearance, but okay. just like kind of her like personality, I guess, and like her mannerisms.
Yeah, I like her.
You had some papers in your pocket.
Yeah, you know what? If you were to play that and you say, is that Emma or this?
Yeah, girl? Like it could be her, right? Yeah.
Not very ladylike, I'm afraid, but we were curious.
Yeah, I would say that she's even channeled this character.
Yeah. I think Emma was actually based on Louise from this episode.
Actually, yeah, that's. I think that's your theory right there. Solid. I like
that's it. Our Cheyenne fact check.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was nothing here. I came into this town and there was nothing.
I don't need you and I don't want you. You here.
Please.
You rest now, Mr. Cartwright. Rest, please.
That's right.
It's kind of funny.
I know, but it works.
Remember this.
I do, actually.
That's also from an episode of Bonanza. It's just... These shots, I don't know if you've ever watched the 1960s Batman TV show, but that's what these like cocked shots remind me of. It's kind of mm-hmm. like this weird, like, I don't understand the point of it. Like, I don't know. It's very... Maybe it's to kind of show that everything is kind of off in this town.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That it's just like, it's just sort of gives a feeling where it's like, there's something not quite right here. Mm.
And they're all, yeah, I mean, we just know that something is up.
What did you find out about him?
Only his name. He's young and he's strong. But he carries
a gun.
You
found all that out? <That's>... His name. He's young. He's strong.
He doesn't like to wear shirts.
A lot of men carry guns. They're not all willing to use them.
I think this boy will.
And if he won't...
So I thought that was weird. And I guess like maybe in the context of this town, it's like... Because, I don't know, the whole town is weird. But
yeah, the whole town. I mean...
To be like, oh, he was carrying a gun. And I'm like, well, who's not carrying a gun? In like the West, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like a weird point, but I guess if they're kind of a town of maybe cowards or something, yeah, then they're like, exactly, oh, he has a gun. Like, he's like ready to like defend us.
Yeah. Like it's a town of like pacifists and wimps, I guess. All right. So we're back. We're just kind of nursing little Joe.
$1 ahead, $2,000. That's a lot of money.
It sure is.
It was a lot of money. I don't have it anymore. But I'll get it back.
It's like you're a fine-looking woman.
I'm sorry.
What was the point of that? To see if she was real?
Maybe...
I don't know.
She has this look on her face like, what?
Yeah, like, I haven't been touched in 300 years. Like, I don't... Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. I mean, it's a lot of, like, banter. I'd say we get onto the whole... Lil Joe's just basically flirting with any woman that's in front of him.
Well, I was just thinking, like, Little Joe falls in love with so many different women over the course of the series. It's just nuts.
Yeah.
And you will go west. Doctor's orders.
Well, I don't take orders from the doctor. However, if his nurse would ask me very nicely.
That's right.
It's kind of funny.
I know, but it works.
She already has. And she's very strict.
She's also very pretty.
So, right there where he says that, a few times in this episode, I'm like, you could be Charles Ingalls. And, like, the way he said that was, he sounded like Charles Ingalls. Like, I was like, I could totally see him saying that to, like, Carolyn or, like, one of the daughters, you know?
Absolutely.
Jack! Jack!
All right, I'll rest.
Thank you.
And we get a lot of that, a lot of weird expressions. We like people not communicating, which isn't, I mean, as viewers, we have kind of no idea what's going on. I think that's refreshing with the show. Because even when they start explaining, we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I had mentioned earlier that I think this episode does a pretty good job of kind of like keeping you invested and that, like, you know, you're kind of trying to figure out like what's going on.
And then we have this like Spanish looking woman popping in. Like, we're, you know.
How is he?
And she seems like really crazy because you're kind of like, what is her deal? Because she just seems really weird. I think in the notes, I found her like weird lady.
Yeah.
Weird. There's like something about her that seems just like really off.
Yeah. Like, I thought she was going to be a fortune teller or something.
And she seems like really like bitter, you know, like when the other people in the town kind of aren't like that. But.
And we learn why. I mean, because our
we later on kind of get the backstory behind that.
Oh, yes, asking questions.
And you told him.
Oh, by the way, all right, so this I kind of remembered. She comes out, and they're basically right outside the door yelling. And there's a big echo.
How is he?
Curious, asking questions.
And you told him.
Exactly what you wanted me to tell him, nothing.
Right, I mean, he can't hear this.
Yeah, right.
She just pushes everybody by. This is basically how I walk into the room. Just pushing the people, random people.
Out of my way.
Out of my way!
I was just getting ready to close, Mrs. O'Brien.
She doesn't look like an O'Brien to me.
Well, they're pronouncing it like O'Brien.
O'Brien.
O'Brien. O'Brien.
It's not important. I can come back.
And that music is so Twilight Zone, it's ridiculous. The doom, 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 doom. This is hideous. Just picks it up, throws it.
That actually is not really ugly.
Bad. It would make a lovely dress, don't you think?
No.
Well, not for mourning, of course. Not for a widow. But for a fiesta, yes.
Tomorrow's Taco Tuesday. Yeah, I mean, does everybody is... And at first, I didn't notice that there were other women. And I'm like, what is this town? Just two women? The whole town? Mm. A lot of dudes.
You are planning a fiesta. A celebration. Now that your savior has arrived. Your messiah. Or is he your fatted calf?
I don't need you, and I don't want you. You here?
The best part is when he falls into the wall.
I know. It's just like really cheesy acting. It's amazing.
Lil Joe's in bed playing poker with the boys. You know, it's
what else are you gonna do, right?
Like, he doesn't think like, all right, let me send a telegram or is there a telegraph operator here in this normal town?
Well, do you see Horace? Because I don't.
Well, I'm gonna take another chance. Raise you 10,000.
I'll just call.
He's so like humored with himself.
Are you
high stakes today?
Yeah, it would be if toothpicks were money.
It was more fun this way. It makes us all feel important.
Well, now, feel important somewhere else. It's lunchtime.
Oh, come on, Louise. Really, I can't eat any more today.
Now, if the good women of Martinville can take the time to cook.
Yeah, I know, Louise. I know that I can take the time to eat it.
Nag, nag.
They're, like,
nag.
Already acting like they're, like, a couple or something.
It's the weirdest thing. And, yeah, I mean, they just have... Kind of like banter, kind of goes nowhere at first.
Another one of those signs.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. That's like a Malloway one, right?
Mm-hmm.
A boy, not 25 years old.
We need him, Mrs. O'Brien. You should know better than anybody else how much we need him.
You expect me to cry for you?
No, we expect you not to get in the way. All of us. We may not get another chance.
But you had a chance once. What did you do with it?
Well, this time it may be different. We hope you won't get in the way.
So she said that he was like 25 years old.
Yeah.
Which is a little... this is like an earlier season. So I don't know, 25, I guess, could make sense.
Well, what year was he? Wasn't he born in 38 or something?
Yeah, and this is 63, so that would make him...
Oh, no, 36 he was born. So... He's in his late 30s. It's close, I guess. Well, not really. What am I talking about?
Wait, so he was born in 36?
Oh, wait. Yeah, he was in his late 20s.
Yeah, so that's about right, I guess. Right.
It's close enough. Casa de Playa. Yeah, maybe they are in Mexico. Like,
what? Well, that's like when I saw this scene, because I was like, I mean, it kind of looks like maybe they're...
Or Arizona? Something. I really am not sure. You know, this is the way... Maybe Mexico used to extend into the United States more. And that's
what you think?
No, but I mean, like, it would make sense for Dr. Quinn, you know? It used to be 1,000 miles north.
You mean that all this land wasn't always the heart of the United States?
Where's the line? Look at this guy just sitting here. Just sitting there.
Nobody's seen him. He certainly would have stopped here.
Well, the thing that is weird about this, though, is because we don't really know where they are, but it seems like they're going like pretty far away looking for him. Yeah. But wherever he had been before he got like lost or whatever, which this is like, I have the feeling the same day like that he gets like robbed is like the same day he's supposed to be home. So wherever he's at, like wherever he is, it's like he would have been close enough to the Ponderosa to get there like that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we see all this like this town with all this like, you know, Spanish, and it just seems so like far removed. Totally, it just is weird. It's like, how far away are you?
And also, they don't have a telegraph office, but they have a barbershop and a bathhouse. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
He's not questioning things.
All right.
Yeah, stop worrying. I feel fine.
Mr.
Cop. What did you say?
I said dentist. Dentist. Barbershop dentist, yeah. It says.
Mr. Cartwright, Miss O'Brien, our late sheriff's wife.
Very pleased to meet you, Mrs. O'Brien.
Don't be pleased to meet me. Don't be pleased
That's
at
like
anything.
That's me when, like, anybody introduces themselves.
Don't be pleased to meet me.
That happens in this place. Mr. Cartwright. Leave this town while you still can. Tell him, Miss Corman.
Uh-oh.
Or don't you know what these people are planning? They're going to kill you. Just as surely as they killed my husband.
You leave him alone. Stop saying such ridiculous things.
Wait a minute.
She also looks like the actress, Amy something.
You're talking about Louise?
Yes. It'll come to me.
Louise, what's she talking about?
It's nothing. Ever since her husband died, she's been imagining all sorts of things.
Whoops.
You poor fool. You poor misguided fool.
Wait, did we pass the part where she was looking through the window? Yeah, we kind of did. I just thought that was like the funniest thing.
I'm looking through you.
Eloise, who's that?
The woman right there, 3 feet away from me.
Yeah, that is so
weird.
You can
totally hear me through the open window.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, hey, who's that?
We were talking about chicken soup.
I hate chicken soup.
So, question actually. In TV shows, they always say like chicken soup.
Yeah.
Is that like the same thing as like chicken noodle or is that something else?
When I think of chicken soup, I think of chicken noodle soup with pieces.
Okay,
because
like I kind of always thought it was like chicken noodle, but they always just call like chicken soup. And I'm like, is that just chicken noodle?
But in my town, because, you know, it's a lot of Jewish people, usually means matzo ball soup. chicken matzo ball soup with schmaltz in it. Schmaltz. Schmaltz is basically rendered chicken fat that you add to your soup. Delicious. Sort of. Very heavy.
I love soup. I'm a huge soup fan.
You know, I'm a soup guy. Sure.
I got focus. I'm shifting into soup mode.
You know, as the temperature drops.
Yeah.
Soup mode. I actually have, I might have mentioned this before, I bought a blender that actually makes soup. So it's an instant pot blender, but it can cook food, which is really cool. And I've made soup, like I make a broccoli soup where I literally just put broccoli, some broth, garlic, some onion, salt and pepper, and that's it. And I just push soup. You literally press soup and you come back in like an hour and it's done. It's crazy. And the blender was only like $75. You have to
get that's pretty awesome.
Get one. It's good.
I could actually use that since my current state of the like oven.
Oven gate.
Yeah, being inoperable, I could use something like that.
I'm looking for a piece of wood to knock on, but all I have is this IKEA desk that I'm using. But my leak, I think, is solved, but I'm not 100% sure. We'll see. But hopefully your thing is solved very quickly.
Speaking of solving things, are they going to find little Joe?
So yeah, they're basically just trying to track Joe, and
and Joe is like too busy making out.
He's really going for it with this ghost.
I was actually, I was kind of surprised by like how kind of heavily they were kissing. Yeah. So I was like, wow, they're like not holding back.
That's why I'm playing it.
Don't leave me, little Joe.
Yep. Yep, little Joe.
Little Joe. This is what's weird, is that she calls him little Joe on her own.
Yeah, I know.
Please don't leave me.
Don't leave little Joe. Would it have killed them to just stop calling him little Joe by people who just met him?
Just call him Joe.
Little Joe. They might confuse him with the other Joes.
Big Joe.
Big Joe. The violin is so much. So let's see. He's out of here.
Mr. Corman, Mr. Masterson, I'm leaving now. I just wish there was some way I could repay you for all you've done for me.
There is. Put that on.
You're not the law. I'm the law.
You're not serious.
Oh, we're convinced that you could handle the job.
Well, that's very flattering, but...
And we're convinced that you will.
Well, I'm not a lawman, Mr. Corman.
No, but you're a man, aren't you? Well, a man pays back his debts.
He's like,
this is terrible.
Now, wait a minute.
You said you owe us something.
All right, look at his hair. Come on. Come on.
It's actually really insane.
His eyebrows and everything.
Yeah, I was thinking his eyebrows are awful. What is that?
I mean, I don't know if you ever saw Max Headroom, but it's like heavy makeup on this, and it's like, he just looks ridiculous.
He really does.
All right, we're telling you how you can pay us.
His hairline is like painted on.
Right. Like all, I mean, it really literally looks like they took, like they went to dye his hair and left the dye in.
Ugh. Back.
You're telling me or you're asking me?
Whichever way you prefer. We're offering you a job. It's as simple as that.
Is it? Is it that simple?
Isn't it kind of weird? They have the nerve to do this, but they don't have the nerve to stand up to these, what, 8 people? So weird to me.
Then why don't you start by telling me what happened to your last sheriff? Why have I been warned to get out of this town?
We thought you liked the people of Martinville. We thought you might want to help us.
Help with what? Now, why doesn't somebody tell me what's going on in this town?
All right, I'll tell you.
So weird. All right.
It's like anytime that someone's like about to reveal it, it's like, no. Yeah.
So he's like, I want to buy a horse. Everyone's just fighting. It's kind of weird. Amy Adams. That's who I'm thinking of. I don't know if you know who that is.
Amy Adams. Sounds familiar.
She was in The Office. She played Pam 2.0. Okay.
Yeah.
She looks just like her, I think.
A little bit.
Louisa basically explains what's going on, which is essentially that they're all prisoners in the town.
Oh, I got a lot of friends out there. What'd they do, hide all the livestock?
Because nobody will sell him a horse, nobody to lend him a horse or anything.
Right, so he's in like the livery thing and it's like totally abandoned.
All right, I walked into this town. I was in a lot worse shape. I can walk out.
We're all prisoners in this town, Little Joe. Can't you see that?
Little Joe.
Little Joe?
What do you mean?
You're a prisoner to your name, Little Joe.
He's like, it's my birthday, you know? I think.
Who's prisoners?
His name is Felix Matt.
What if he had a birthday hat on the whole time?
That would make it.
That'd be kind of awesome.
Drove off our livestock and he killed our sheriff.
That music is nuts.
Right, it's right up there with the... And then, of course...
This,
Oh, wait.
I don't need you and I don't want you. You're here!
So he starts confronting everyone. He's doing a lot of yelling at them, a lot of lecturing.
All we did was ask you to help us.
You didn't ask me to do anything. You tried to trick me into taking a job I didn't know anything about.
We're asking you now.
Also, by the way, everything is like very Paul Ingalls about it. Mm-hmm. Like when Paul Ingalls like kind of goes on his like.
Right. He's like, I'll stand up for everyone.
Yeah.
He decides to basically barricade the guys out. We learn that they're returning that night and. What is that woman's name? The,
Louise or like the widow one?
Yeah, the widow.
Mrs. O'Brien.
Oh, right. I want to call her O'Brien, like from Seinfeld. O'Brien. she's the Nazi wife. And are you O'Brien?
Yeah.
So she's kind of a negative person, but you know, you can't blame her. Why doesn't kiss her too? So she comes up to talk to Louisa.
How unfortunate. Or how helpless. Do you think he would have believed the truth?
See, this is where it's like, kind of like, all right, maybe we don't know what's going on.
Right, because no. It's like we get the explanation, and that basically is what Little Joe is all like setting up for when he's. Does the whole barricade thing, and he's all like, oh, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. We have Mrs. O'Brien, who gives that story later on about what happened with her husband, which is, like, kind of the same thing that's supposed to happen to Little Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's all, like, saying that's not the truth, basically. So it's like, what is the truth?
Yeah, and we don't learn, really, until towards the end. But, I like O'Brien's look. I like that she's very different looking than almost everyone else on this show, normally.
She also could totally, like, her hair and makeup and everything is very 1960s. Like, mm-hmm. She could be, yeah. Like, Bewitched or something and
totally.
Would fit right in, which we get a lot on this show. I really don't think that they make a lot of effort to make people, like, really, really look like they're in the 1860s.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and especially with women, I know I've said this before, but I feel like in every episode, like the women, I'm like, you're totally like 1960s. Like you just look like 1960s.
She also has a very good evil queen type look. You know, she,
yeah,
I like her.
Thank you for that anyway.
Then you promised him something. What, Miss Corman? Sweet nights and soft guitars for the rest of his short life. Long nights under the moonlight. The sweet smell of sage? Or was it something more down to earth? Something else that he won't receive?
Get out of here.
I thought so. You got him to fall in love with you. That's it, isn't it?
Please leave, Katie.
Why? So you can throw that boy's life away?
I was surprised to learn that her name was Katie, by the way.
Katie O'Brien?
She does not look O'Brien. Katie O'Brien.
Katie O'Brien. And O'Brien. Katie O'Brien. Still sounds Irish. She doesn't look Irish to me.
But he doesn't know won't hurt him. He doesn't have to die, doesn't he?
It's a big echo in this episode.
One man against all of them.
Please, Katie, don't you see? He's all we have. He's our only chance to get out of this town. To get off these streets after so many years.
And for that, he dies. Yes, he dies.
So then just going on, we still, as viewers, we're really not sure what precisely is going on. But in Pa Engel's fashion, he has the biggest pot of coffee, and he's pouring a cup.
That's actually so funny, because I also thought of the Pa Engel's coffee thing when I watched this.
I can go for a cup. Look at the size of that thing. It's a gallon.
Huge.
Sorry about what?
We got you involved in all of this.
No, I'd be a lot worse off if I hadn't wandered into Martinville. Be lying out on the desert somewhere dead.
Yeah, they also made it seem as though they were coming to party. Like, these guys are real derelicts, and they're going to come. And one in particular has fancies her, Louisa, and is going to target her, which is basically what made him stay, right? To, you know, fight for her honor in particular.
Right. And then she makes that comment that I'm kind of like, what is that supposed to mean? When she was like, basically, was like,
are you
doing
it for me?
Well, there's that, but then when she talks about the guy who, like, you know, oh, he likes me, which I'm like, is this like junior high?
Right. But it's like, I can't fight him off anymore.
She's like, oh, but like a girl gets tired or something, and I'm like, what is that supposed to mean? Because I mean, that sounds really like,
I'm sure what's going on here, you know? Let's see. We have the guys show up.
All right, that's far enough, Matthews.
Yeah, there's eight guys. There's eight guys, and all of these guys are armed. I mean, just kind of point and kill them. I mean, it's the Wild West, right?
Well, well, well.
This guy, well, well, well.
What have we here? You know what it is, and you know what it's for. Masterson, Corman, get up there where I can see you. Get up here.
He's boss. Get up there.
Are you playing games again?
Well, you see, Mr. Matthews.
Don't mister him, Corman. This isn't a game, Matthews. You're through in this town. Get that straight right now.
All right, Masterson, get this pile of junk out of the middle of the street right now. We're coming through.
This pile of junk stays.
You're gonna let this boy dig his own grave, Masterson, with his mouth.
So it was at this point I thought that the Cartwrights were gonna show up at the nick of time and do a shootout and all this kind of stuff. But not exactly. They have a lot of like, we're not moving, you better move, but we're not gonna move, you better move.
Yeah.
Gets a little tiresome.
How much time has elapsed, by the way? Because, like, Mrs. O'Brien and Louise have been wearing the same clothes the whole time. So either this is, like, the same day, or they just never change their clothes.
I'm going to say about 3 days. What do you think?
I definitely get the impression that, like, more than one day is more than one day, right? But they're wearing the same thing all the time, so. Yeah,
well. Maybe the morning outfit, she could have a couple of those, I guess. But Louisa has no excuse.
I warn you,
it'll work out fine
if you leave now while you have the chance.
You know, you sound like you're trying to protect Felix Matthews. I thought you said he was the man that shot your husband.
He pointed the gun, he pulled the trigger, yes, but that's all.
all of a sudden,
kind of sounds like he kind of sounds like he shot him. Exactly.
Also, we have these like very close up shots all of a sudden. Like,
you want to know what killed my husband?
That guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just explained that he pulled the trigger.
That fellow.
Yes, it was the cowardice of a whole town. Fight them, my husband said, and they were all for it. Build a barricade, he said, and they ran out into the street with their chairs and their mattresses. Or did you think this idea of yours was 100% original?
This time it'll work.
This is where he punches her. It is original. It's my idea. I want full credit. So here we go. We have, we find, they're just like kind of tracking him, but it's so weird that they just happen to come across Little Joe's hat. Adam's like, oh, I guess we should go back. It's taking a lot longer than I thought it would. Now I remember. It's kind of like he picks it up. He looks at it. He looks under the bed. And it says Little Joe on the band. Look. You just see it like written in like crayon.
Yeah.
Like, you know how like Andy is written on the foot of Woody of from Toy Story.
Or it's like one of those like labels that people put like on their daycare labels or whatever. Yeah.
Lil Joe Cartwright.
It's like one man on horseback and one on foot.
Yeah, going right out in the desert.
That's right.
So let's see. They get into a discussion about how the barricades is not going to work. Wait, so this guy just like freaks out because his wife is just like so upset. Just shut up.
Easy, mister, easy. Now take it easy.
Come to your senses. Can't you see it won't work?
You can't just go on,
take him inside.
Take him inside. I'll beat up all of you.
You can't.
The barricade actually is pretty hilarious because it's like a bunch of overturned wagons.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and then like the guy just like freaks out and he's like just kind of ripping the barricade apart like by like little piece by little piece. But it's like, well, even if you thought the barricade wasn't going to work, I don't know what you think that taking it apart is doing.
Right. You're just like throwing a couple like a futon or something. Like
yeah.
He's right. It's no use. We can't win.
What do you mean he's right? You're winning. Can't you see that? You call his bluff. Matthews can't fight his way into this town.
No, not now. He can't.
Are you sure about that? Because it's like an overturned wagon. I don't know.
You know, it really bothers me how spineless these guys are. I've never seen like such spineless, like a depiction of such spineless people.
This yeah, like well, and so it's especially really weird in this like Wild West town where people just like are probably like, oh, let's like have a shot of whiskey and then shoot the place up, you know? Right. Like it's just
you just you know just have a half a bottle of whiskey and then you'll feel that's your courage right there.
A few weeks. How long can we go on living like this?
And it's been a day. It's been like 13 hours. How much longer can we live like this?
In other words, you want to quit. No, it's not a question of quitting. It's a question of common sense. We gambled. We lost. And you're always going to lose, Masterson, you and men like you. Because you're willing to trade your basic rights for a few stinking pennies. And when you find out you made a bad deal, you scream you're being victimized.
Don't judge us, boy.
Why shouldn't I judge you?
Because
you have terrible hair. Why should I judge you?
Well, because you don't know us. Well, we thought we could be strong, but...
No, Corman, you thought I could be strong for you.
You know what? His hair, Mr. Corman's hair, actually reminds me of that episode of Frasier when Martin has the, like, spray, like, that he uses, like, spray can stuff to make it colored.
Yeah.
Well, I can't.
That's exactly what's in his hair. like that type of stuff.
By myself.
And it like stains a chair.
It's so gross.
So we lose. Again, we lose.
And you're gonna take it just like that.
I tried to warn you, but you wouldn't listen. I tried to tell you what kind of men they are.
It's no good.
I'm gonna go home and cry. Yeah, so he's, Lil Joe's like really frustrated, and then he's like, he starts taking apart the whole barricade himself.
I helped build it, I'll show you how to tear it down. First thing that goes is your courage. That just gets in the way. Next thing that goes is your manhood. Another thing you don't need. Concern for the safety of your women and children. It's too late for that now. All right, and here's the last thing.
Women and children. Where are the children in this town, by the way? You know, I don't see children.
Yeah, I don't see it at all. Even though they made a comment, something about saving the ammunition for the women and children.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, when he does this, he should have this song playing.
Oh, wait! You want this barricade down? All right. I helped build it. I'll show you how to tear it down. First thing that goes is your courage. That just gets in the way. Next thing that goes is your manhood. Another thing you don't need. Concern for the safety of your women and children. It's too late for that now. All right, here's the last thing. This is the last thing, but that's got to go too, doesn't it, gentlemen? This is your self-respect. All right, there it is. There's what's left of you. Nothing. Now Matthews can ride into this town just like he was going to a Sunday meeting. But a breach goes both ways, gentlemen. If a man can ride into it, another one can walk out, and that's just what I'm going to do.
Yes, lady.
I'm going to take this gun, and I'm going to walk through that barricade, and I'm going to walk down that street up to that mesa, and I'm going to kill as many of Matthews' men as I can before they kill me.
You sure did.
Now, is there anybody in this town man enough to join me?
Complete silence.
I mean, everybody has, like, no reaction to anything. Like, this would be such a frustrating group of people to talk to because they all just stand there, like...
It's the weirdest.
Doing nothing. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But it's just plain suicide! Maybe not. It's an old cavalry trick, Masterson. When everything seems...
Wait, how about this?
Now, is there anybody in this town man enough to join me?
How about you shut up?
But it's just plain suicide! Maybe not. It's an old cavalry trick, Masterson. When everything seems hopeless, charge. Look, we can do it if you'll just get behind me. Or they'll put all of us down before we get halfway up that hill. Oh, no, they won't, because it's the last thing they'll expect from you. Look, we can do it! Now, who's with me?
I'm with you.
That looks good.
I'll go with you if you'll lead us.
You know I'll lead you.
Can't you see he's...
Whoops.
Right. Can't you see we've got to do it? We must do it!
Better go after your dog, Brian, before some cat swallows him up.
Are you willing to go?
Yes.
How about the rest of you? The whole go!
And it really makes no sense because, like, they do all have guns and it's, like, eight people. I don't get it. Yeah. You have an entire town. Like, why
and,
are you so
and booze, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But we... Look at this guy. He's so dramatically getting shot. There's a big shootout. Which
I don't know if you saw my notes, but I was like, it reminded me of that thing we did in Dr. Quinn and Better Alive.
Yeah. I just remembered as I was saying, but just give me seconds. Your call is important to us. Please, please wait. I could have sworn I had it before. Oh, I do. All right. So let's see where we can start this.
All right, let's get to those rocks as quick as we can and spread out. Let's go.
Wait, maybe I should even start it.
I think probably like right here is where you want to start it.
All right.
Happiness.
One more time. Happiness is a warm gun. Happiness is a warm gun, mama. Maybe the slow motion doesn't work that great, so I'm going to try.
I kind of liked it. I thought it was
so great. There were a lot of, like, dead spots, but
yeah.
I'll play one. We'll try it again, keeping it in slow motion. Fighting me. Happiness is a warm gun. Happiness is a warm gun, mama. When I hold you in my arms and I feel my...
See that? Oh yeah, when he did the roll, it was pretty nice.
I don't know why that worked at that moment.
I don't know, but it kind of seemed nice just as the Cartwrights show up.
Oh, let's get this back to full speed. That's pretty crazy. Like, whoops. Look at that weird ass Monopoly money.
I know. It's kind of nuts. It seems so insecure to just have that in the saddlebag, too.
Right? Wrap it in like a Subway sandwich wrapper or something. Something to, like, kind of, you know, hide it. I'm sorry, Pete's Subway.
Yeah, Pete's Subway.
Be funny if Adam's like, yuck.
Well, the money's all there. It's in the saddlebag.
Thanks, Mom.
I wish I clipped from The Wizard of Oz. Like, and you were there. And you were there.
But that's not Matthews. That's the man that stole my horse.
It's probably why is your money, dum-dum.
Took a lot of doing, son. Tracking him down by yourself on foot.
But I wasn't by myself. I had the whole town behind me.
What town?
There ain't no town, boy.
Where is everybody?
Well, Joe, there's no one here except us.
The whole town behind me, but really behind me.
You remember Colorado?
Old town of Martinville.
Actually, when they show Haas, you know what he's probably thinking, right?
Yeah, but I had the whole town behind me, but really behind me.
My letter is T. My sound is T.
Ta.
Ta. Ka. To cat.
Town of Martinville.
Little Joe, son, I don't know what you're trying to say or why, but Martinville has been a ghost town for a good number of years.
That music is, like, just so weird.
It is. It's great.
Boom. A little toot, 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 toot.
Actually, it sounds like he's going to say something else here.
I don't know what you're trying to say or why, but Martinville.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
There's been a ghost town for a good number of years.
It's like a steel drum or something. Doom, 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 doom.
A ghost.
Yeah? Yes.
My letter is T.
Louise.
It's just, I don't know, slow motion's always funny. So he goes into the town. He sees the slamming door again.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
I talked to him. I worked with him.
That worked well, too, actually.
That was Joseph. It's crazy how like it just lined up like that.
Dum, 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 dum.
There was also a hot sun and a head wound. The sun does funny things to a person.
That's what she said to me.
That's what she said.
That's what I wanted to clip. I was going to grab a Michael Scott thing.
Who?
Girl I met here, Louise.
Son, Martinville has been a dead town for such a long time. There's even a legend connected with it. Something about a sheriff or something.
O'Brien?
Well, I don't know what his name was, but the story goes that Martinville turned its back on him and let him get killed. The sheriff's wife, well, she just put a curse on the whole town. Doomed all the people of Martinville to walk the streets of the town for all eternity. Until some fella came along who was foolish enough or maybe brave enough to risk his life for them.
Sounds sort of weird.
Yeah, well, all legends sound weird.
Sounds kind of weird.
Sounds kind of weird.
Until some fella came.
Good one, Haas.
Foolish enough, or maybe brave enough to risk his life for them.
Sounds sort of weird.
Yeah, well, all legends sound weird. Funny, depending on how you look at him.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
I know there were people in this town, but Joe. Let's get on home. We'll talk about it.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, by the way, happy birthday. Got your PS1.
Oh, wait a minute. That wagon, it wasn't here when I first came into town.
For a second, I thought it said hot babes in the background.
Must have been.
It wasn't, Pa. It was part of a barricade. I know. I built it. I turned that wagon over myself.
Joe, come on home. There's nothing here.
So this is where I thought we were going to see, like, somebody in the doorway or
something. Oh, yeah.
But not like this. Like, I this is, like, kind of right up there with Bewitched a little bit. But at least they fade her away. They don't just go ding.
Right.
Unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound.
What was it that he threw?
I didn't... Oh, the badge. The badge.
Oh, right. Because right.
Then they show it on the ground, the sheriff badge.
But where the hell did he get it? You know what I mean? Like,
well, and then why wouldn't he show that to his family when he was trying to convince them that this all happened?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have this tangible evidence of it.
He's only 40. He doesn't have the scruples of an adult.
No, I mean, seriously, actually, now I didn't think of this before when I watched it, but now it kind of makes me mad. Why wouldn't he have shown them the badge?
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, guys, I have this badge.
Right.
That looks good.
that's it. We've made it to the end. If I only showed them the badge, they might have believed me. Not that it matters if they believe him, because everybody's gone.
Well, and then I was going to ask you what you thought of that line that Ben has, where he's like, if someone really believes it, like really believes something is true, like he basically doesn't have to like convince other people that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what was that all about? Was that just like him trying to just get him to shut up about it, basically?
Yeah.
Or does he kind of like, I don't know, think there's something weird about the whole thing, but he just doesn't want to like go into it.
I like the weirdness of this episode. You know, it's definitely a nice departure from like your standard Cartwright story, but yeah, it just doesn't resolve itself very well. It's like very open-ended.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of do wish that we sort of had a more solid indication of like if there actually is something to this, or if it was all just like a fever dream.
Yeah.
If it is just like a dream, in a way, it kind of reminds me of like the Halloween dream on Little House.
Right.
Just like that, like this kind of like, you know, Halloween-esque episode. And there's just this like, you know, totally
off the wall,
you know, dream.
But I like that they're willing to take a risk with an episode like this. Mm-hmm. Is it well received? Do you know? Like, was it? Does it?
Let me see how it's rated on IMDb, because you know, might. Let's see. Twilight Town.
By the way, how is the Bonanza metal tin sign that you bought from Timu?
Ponderosa Party Time.
Ponderosa Party Time. Ponderosa Party Time.
It's a good sign, and I think that probably by the time this is aired, we will have given away
a winner.
The second one that I acquired. Let's see, where's the rating on here? I'm on IMDb. Is it at the top?
Let's see.
It's at 8.2.
Yeah, it says 8.2.
That's how it's rated. So, I mean, let's see what the user reviews have to say about it.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was just doing. I like to go right to the lowest. I like to see what... nobody rated it 1.
This person says, one of Bonanza's most storied episodes and one of Michael Lannon's finest hours on the series. Hmm. I mean, I thought he was good tonight. Like, it's a good Little Joe episode.
Let's see. Yeah, I've never seen High Noon or Brigadoon, but it says it's a cross between them.
This one says this episode's my near favorite of any and all of the Bonanza episodes ever made. Why? Because it goes beyond the typical warm and fuzzy show revolving around good versus evil. Good one's out.
Hmm.
Show leaves you thinking about it afterwards, reliving that episode in your head over and over while questioning yourself as to whether you got it right or not. I mean, I would agree with that. Like, we were just kind of saying, like, yeah, it's so, like, open-ended.
Now, the writer was Cy Shermock.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Cy Shermock just passed away in 2021. I'm wondering if he did other episodes of this.
Mm.
Oh, and he worked on at least one episode of Kolchak. Kolchak is a mid-70s movie, TV show. And it dealt with a lot of paranormal stuff. Oh, he did 18, maybe all of the episodes for Kolchak the Night Stalker. But yeah, that was like an early X-Files type of inspiration. And it ran from 1974 to 1975. So that makes a lot of sense, actually. That's where he's a producer. But as a
what? This one review, this review, they're like, this app looks like it cannot lose, but it does just a little. For starters, the lady who nurses Joe back to health is simply not quite as attractive as she could have been. What kind of a review is that?
How attractive could she have been? Like, how do you even like what would have made her? And she has a cool name, Davy Davison.
Yeah, I actually noticed her name at the beginning. I thought that was pretty cool.
She's still around, and we should try to reach out to her.
Are you aware that you were not as attractive as you could have been?
I was wondering what your thoughts were of being not attractive enough. We're not saying you're not attractive. Just not quite enough. She's in some weird-ass movies here, though. Angel, Angel, Down We Go. Looks like some type of cannibal type thing going on here.
But anyway, overall, though, other than this person who said she should have been hotter or whatever, it seems like the episode is actually quite is actually like quite well received.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought it was good. I thought it was enjoyable, and it has that kind of nice spooky supernatural type elements to kind of fit in with the Halloween thing.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it.
And I know in this episode it was Little Joe's birthday, and I don't know if we ever get an indication of when Little Joe's birthday is, but given that this aired in October and of course Michael Landon's birthday is Halloween, so it's kind of fitting, I guess, for like a Halloween episode to be like, you know, Little Joe birthday episode.
Little Joe! Halloween Palooza.
Not one person actually told him happy birthday, though.
We did.
I mean,
happy birthday, little Joe. You know what? Happy birthday, Joe. How about that?
And do you think that when they got home, was the sign still up? Or do you think they took it down after the party was over?
Hop Singh took it down. No, birthday over.
Yeah.
Next year. Hop Singh's like, it's going to be Haas's birthday soon. I don't know.
He sees his like white out and then writes Haas.
Maybe. They just have like an interchangeable thing. They just cut off the name. Save money. But, well, thank you very much for doing this episode, as always. And I had fun.
That's why they call him Little Joe. Because they made the sign when he was little. And they don't want to make a new piece for the interchangeable thing. So they just are like, you're Little Joe for life.
Let's go to, like, where the sign is. There it is. Happy birthday, Little Joe. Little. They could have just wrote happy birthday, big guy.
Big guy.
Actually,
big guy, yeah. Little Joe.
But yeah, I really wish they did. Why is it important that it's even his birthday? Doesn't make any sense. Right? Like, it doesn't really play into the story.
I mean, I guess because they were like, oh, he has to be home for this party. But it was a surprise party. So, like, you can't really expect him to, like, meet some deadline to get to your party if it's a surprise party.
Let's say he has to be home on Wednesday for his birthday, right? And he's like, on Sunday, hey, Joe, go pick up $2,000 and be back for your birthday. Oh, well, maybe they sent him away so they could do the surprise party.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. It's kind of weird. But yeah, thank you so much for doing this. And by the way, having nothing to do with this podcast, I did pull out this for future reference.
Oh,
that's always fun to have. But if you like this podcast, well, why don't you just tell a friend about it? Give us a review, subscribe to it. Head
tell
over to
all your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers.
And if you don't have any friends or coworkers, we'll be your friends and coworkers.
Exactly.
As long as you leave us a review, a 5-star review somewhere. And of course, subscribe and head over to Facebook and join Landon Nation. We also are in Dr. Queencast, that group a lot, and also One Oak Grove Cast. While you're there, you may as well join them all.